Our gospel reading this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Listen for the word of the Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your great love for us, for the way that you care for us, for the way that you love us before we've done anything to earn it. Please help us to hear that and to hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Pastor Lori Hartzell from First Presbyterian Church of Benton Harbor previously, she told me once that she preached a sermon called "Beloved" beforehand, about where God says, "You are my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased," before Jesus has done anything to, I suppose, earn the state of belovedness. The idea that God loved Jesus and that God loves us before we've done a single thing to earn it. I thought that was a really terrific sermon concept, and there's so much powerful truth in it. And today, we're going to assume that. We're going to assume that business that we are beloved before we can do anything to earn it, and that God loves us and loves Jesus before we've done anything to earn it. And we're going to build on that, and we're going to look a little bit at why it matters. To do that, we're going to go look at Abraham Maslow. Oh, there it is. In his little hierarchy of needs, he talks about the different levels of needs. We've got the physiological needs, like we need to eat and drink, things like that. We need to go to the bathroom. We need to have a sense that we feel safe. And we need to have these things sometimes before we can get to these higher levels on your pyramids of a sense of belonging and love, a sense of esteem that what we're doing matters. And self-actualization, I wasn't paying as much attention in psychology class as I thought. Self-actualization is the sense that, like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Or maybe that's esteem, I don't remember. Anyway, we're going to look at Maslow for a second in this pronouncement to Jesus where the voice comes from heaven that says, "You are my Son, the Beloved." That's the love line on the pyramid, which is line 3. "And with you I'm well pleased," the esteem. You're seeing that coming through here, right? The thing is, we can't do difficult things unless we feel safe. I mean, to some extent. There are some things that we can't do if we don't feel safe in our being there. Like Jesus goes out into the wilderness, but you notice that Jesus going out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil comes immediately after this pronouncement that "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." We grow from a sense of feeling. We grow out of this sense of feeling safe. If you feel unsafe, you can't grow. Alain de Botton was on an episode of On Being that I heard this past week or maybe the week before. And this thing he said stuck with me. He said, "The only conditions under which anyone learns are conditions of incredible sweetness, tenderness, patience. That's how we learn." He was talking about the relationship between children and parents and how we don't try to scare our children into learning stuff. In the condition where they feel safe. And this showed up in a parenting study thing that I've been looking at that they called it the the storm or something like that, where if you feel like you're in this like heightened emotional situation where you just are afraid or angry or upset, you can't, like, that's not the best time to tell your kid that this is an important lesson to you, you know, while your kid's screaming from slamming their hand in the door. This is a good time, that's not the best time to tell them, and this is why we shouldn't leave that door open or something like that, because they're not going to hear that. They're going to see you as the enemy. But once they've calmed down, then that's a better time to tell them that. So this line from Alain de Botton, the only condition under which anyone learns are conditions of incredible sweetness, tenderness, and patience. That's how we learn. My wife, Kristen, got this tattoo. On the left, you'll see the picture that she drew sort of as concept art. On the right is what she ended up actually getting, how the tattoo artist interpreted it. And it says, love is the water of life. Love as the water of life. We need it to function properly. Let's see what we got. Yeah, like water, love, that sense I'm gonna be sort of interspersing love and that just that general sense of safety that comes out of love. Like water, love, and that sense of safety that comes from that, it's really important. Water is really important. I don't know if you know this. And I'm a little low this morning. But it should be enough here. Water is really important. I know this because when I worked at camp, Jamonville, in southwestern Pennsylvania, they had this thing they called the King Swing. Got to be probably as big as this room in size. So there'd be a pole up there and two poles back there, wires across the top, and two wires that come down in the middle, probably higher than this room, like 40 feet high. And then these two wires come down, and you put on a harness, you clip it in, and then you get towed all the way up over there. You pull the clip, and you go down, and you swing. It's really fun. It's a little intimidating once you get to the top. You're like, oh, I don't know, and you got to pull it, and then you go for the long swing. So one day, I was up there taking pictures on like that pole over there. I just climbed up the pole and clipped in, just taking pictures. I drained a like 32-ounce water bottle. Is it 32? I think it's 32. Like your standard Nalgene water bottle. Drained it in one morning. It was a hot morning. I drained a second one. I drained a third one. Did not go to the bathroom once. That is not like me. In a standard morning, I would have gone like two or three times, or at least once, because you needed to know that. So I went down to the dining hall at lunchtime, and they said I was acting funny. And I was like, no, I'm not, I'm fine. And the person who sort of ran the camp at the time was a registered nurse, and she was like, you need to drink water. You're not really acting like yourself. I was like, of course I'm acting like myself. I don't need water, I'm fine. She's like, drink the water. It's like, fine. And I just like, tall glass of water. Oh, that was interesting. Drain two glasses of water just like that. And in a little while, my brain started acting normally. And the point of that story is when we're thirsty, our brains don't work the way that they're supposed to when we get dehydrated. And if love as the water of life is this really important thing, when we don't feel loved, our brains don't work the way that we're supposed to. We start making angry accusations and saying, I'm not angry, I'm fine. In a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, I found this quote from Peter Van Vrieman, a book called Certain as the Dawn, which I ordered immediately after learning this was where that quote was. He said, one saint used to say she was the type of woman who advances more rapidly when she's drawn by love than when she's driven by fear. I really like that. One saint used to say She was the type of woman who advances more rapidly when she's drawn by love than when she's driven by fear. And then he went on to say that she was wise enough to know that we're all like that. We're all like that. Similar things can happen when we hear about things that might concern us, right? When you creep into, say, the political realm or something, if you don't feel safe, you can just react to hearing that, oh, someone else is having a really hard time. Your reaction might be to kind of tense up, and I've talked about this before, you hear the language of white privilege or systemic racism, you go, I don't have privilege, I'm poor, whatever, I'm in all of these things. And that anxiety and that feeling of being unsafe sort of seals you off against hearing that anyone else is having any kind of problems or any kind of trouble. Yeah, it can seal you off against feeling. But again, you can go in both directions, right? You can go both directions. You can feel unsafe, or you could feel too safe. You can feel too safe. I think that's also true for guilt. When we feel safe, we're better able to love others and learn and follow Jesus. And maybe that's part of what's going on in the flood story. And I think I know what that means. Yeah, maybe that's part of what's going on in the flood story. I didn't get that far yet. God says, I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature and all flesh. I sort of outlined the flood story, and God says this similar line about, I'm going to see the rainbow and I'll remember my covenant, and the waters will never again become a flood to destroy all flesh, right? This is a message of safety. You are safe from any future global floods kind of thing. That's what's happening in this story. Yeah, it's related to that. That may be why some of us who would normally have given something up for Lent this year haven't given anything up for Lent. Traditionally, I've given up Facebook, but now I'm off about 3 days a week because that's about the balance I've figured out that I need for just general survival. So if you post something really inspiring on a Friday and I like it on a Monday, that's why. I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm just not on Facebook. But that's become more of a regular practice than a giving it up for Lent. Because we've lost a lot this year. We don't generally feel safe. Most of us in this room except me are wearing masks, and I would be wearing one if it didn't make me sound like Darth Vader. if you could see facial expressions through it, I got a clear mask. But anyway, we just have this sense of not feeling safe, so it's hard to give something up more than that. We've already given up worshiping in person. What more is there to give up, right? Anyway, the other thing with a flood, right, is that you have the danger of having too much water. Perhaps you've heard of dihydrogen monoxide. The dangers of dihydrogen monoxide. I think I learned about it in college chemistry, but I'd already heard of it. Dihydrogen monoxide, have you heard of this? If you inhale too much dihydrogen monoxide, it'll kill you. Seriously. Dihydrogen monoxide inhalation is the leading cause of drowning deaths. If you don't speak chemistry, dihydrogen monoxide, that's two hydrogens and an oxygen, H2O, that's water. It's loads of fun. There's a whole website where you can read about the dangers of dihydrogen monoxide. The media won't tell you anything about dihydrogen monoxide. The government's trying to keep it covered up. Anyway, the point is there's this, you can have the danger, and I think it's far more common of not feeling safe and loved enough, but I suppose you could have the danger of feeling too safe, where you're just too connected, you don't want to venture at all outside your comfort zone. Speaking of Jamonville, before we did any of these activities, we talked about how we have a stoplight system here at Jamonville. What that means is, as you're doing these activities, tell us how you feel. If you're green, that means you're perfectly fine. Everything is good. You are A-okay and you are safe. If it's yellow, you're like, okay, I'm a little anxious about this, but I think I'm going to be okay to keep going. If you're red, you're like, stop. I don't want to do this anymore. I just can't. And we will stop everything for you so that you will feel safe. Because you can't, as we talked about earlier, you can't learn something if you don't feel safe. So if you've pulled yourself all the way up to that far end and you're just terrified and you can't pull that clip, we're going to let you back down, okay? We're going to let you back down until you feel more safe. What we found out, or what I learned throughout it, is probably most people in that system seem to learn when they were in orange. They're like, I'm really nervous here, but I think I can do it. And then they pull that clip and go swing, and it's really scary for just a split second, and then it's really awesome, right? But we learn there when we feel safe enough. And this was a thing that I would always do. I would always explain how strong those cables are, how strong the harness and all the stuff that you're relying on is, so that they would feel safe. But there's still sort of this little bit of, I'm a little uncomfortable here. And they've talked about safe spaces versus brave spaces. You want to have enough water, but not enough that you're drowning, right? Yellow, maybe orange, but not red. We need to feel safe and loved, but not so much that we don't go out and do something out of that, right? And we are safe. Like, ultimately safe. Jesus died for us. God means us no harm. I didn't ask Kristen if I could tell her the story, but the first thing that I remember about Kristen when we first met, okay? But it really goes with this. Sorry, honey. So we're on a different portion of the challenge course at Jamonville. There's like the zip line, and it's super high in the air, and I'm running the zip line platform. So people, before they go, they've gone up probably 40 feet in the air and walked around on these wires, you know, really high up in the air, and they get to the last platform, and I'm standing there, and it's, you know, you can look straight down, it's 40 feet, and everybody said, you know, you clip into the zipline platform and off you go. And everybody's really scared. I've explained this is perfectly safe. I know it's perfectly safe. I've done it a few times. And everybody, as they come on, they're like, I don't know if I can do this. They just kind of sit with their legs hanging 40 feet in the air going, I don't know, man, this is so scary. But you have to push yourself off. It's one of the rules that I wasn't allowed to push them. You've got to push yourself off. Everybody else is like, and then eventually, after like a couple minutes, they push themselves off or I send them back. But Kristen gets to my slide. This is my first major memory of her. She gets to there, clips in. I'm like, okay, you ready? And she goes through calling stuff out. And she goes, you ready? She goes, yep, love you, Jesus. She was just gone. Her parents did not see that coming. The point of that being, death is defeated. We are safe. There was a new song by Amy Grant called Threaten Me With Heaven, going, okay, you're trying to scare me. The worst case scenario is I go see Jesus. Oh, funny story. I don't know if I have a slide for that. Yeah, I do have a slide. There's a rainbow around the throne. Remembering that in this story, the rainbow is God hanging up God's bow, you know, archery bow. God's hanging up God's bow in the sky and saying, every time I see that, it will be a constant reminder that I'm not going to do this flood thing again. And there's a rainbow wrapped in Revelation. There's a rainbow wrapped around the throne. There's a rainbow wrapped around the throne. So when I was growing up, there was this thing where you would worry that you weren't really saved because these people who called themselves evangelists. Now, if this was a Wikipedia article, there would be the word disputed next to it. They would call themselves evangelists, and they would come around, and basically their goal was to get as many people saved as possible. You got to get people saved, and you got to do that. You get higher numbers if more people come forward and pray and accept Jesus into their heart. And what happens as you do that is, well, all of a sudden you've got the same 100 people sitting in the pews. How are 20 of them going to come forward and accept Jesus if it's the same 20 people who were here for the last revival? Well, you say, are you sure? Are you sure that you're sure? Are you sure that you're sure that you're third? And then at the end you go, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe I should come forward and accept Jesus and get born again. And I lived in that for probably four or five years of just the anxiety of, am I really beloved, or is God holding me over the pit of hell like some little spider, per Jonathan Edwards? Look. And at some point, I just decided to accept that maybe if I'm relying on whether I prayed that prayer properly or whether I really, really meant it, it's turned it into some kind of a works righteousness thing anyway. So I just decided to accept that Jesus loves me and not try to earn it or do whatever I had to do, say the magical incantations to make it work right, to just accept that Jesus loves me. And all of a sudden, I am freed to start doing the things because I'm not afraid anymore. I can start loving and serving God because I'm not afraid that God's going to send me to hell anymore. Not because I've said the prayer right, but because Jesus loves me and that's it. There's a rainbow around the throne. We are loved. The hand that holds the judge's gavel at the last judgment has a nail print. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In that same token, other people need to feel safe with us. But of course, they can't feel safe with us unless we feel safe in general. And we feel safe because we are loved by God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your great love for us, for the rainbow around the throne, for the nail prints in the hands that hold the judge's gavel at the last judgment. Please help us to lean into that, to feel safe, to feel so safe in your love for us that we can love others and make them feel safe in our love for them. That we can grow to love and serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen.